The Reformation and Luther definitely moved the Western world toward the idea of religious freedom for the individual conscience.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Be proud of that, for Pete's sake. You know, this crazy world thinks everybody should be free to define him, her, or their, or itself in any way they want. That is crazy. But it was the Lutheran Reformation that advanced, initially, enormously, the idea that the matter of one's beliefs is a matter between God and the individual, not the state.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at our 2017 Making the Case conferences on an audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 year-end tax-deductible donation. Look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
May Christ our intercessor be.
That is the hymn, "The Day is Surely Drawing Near," stanza 6. This is marvelous hope for those who await Christ's return. Then we shall see him face to face with all his saints in that blessed place which he has purchased for us. We await, anxiously await, the return of Christ. If you look at this from an Old Testament perspective, the day of the Lord is one of both hope and dread. In fact, recently in the church's readings, the prophets have been warning us about the day of the Lord that is coming, not light, but darkness, something to be feared if one does not stand right with God. So how are we to understand the Old Testament prophets' near constant talk about the day of the Lord? Are they talking about only the second coming of Christ, only judgment day? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of November. We're going to be continuing our series, Christ in the Old Testament, talking about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament prophets. What are they talking about and why do they talk about it so much, especially given the fact that these prophets are speaking about this day, if it is the last day, that for many of them is thousands and thousands of years off, assuming Christ returns soon. Why are they warning the Old Testament people about the day of the Lord? Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest here in the first hour of the program. A little bit later, we'll be talking about the sale of a Leonardo da Vinci portrait of Christ called Savior of the World. It sold in auction for almost $500 million, $450 million to anonymous buyers. And it's a marvelous work. It was kind of lost, but then restored and discovered to be an original. What's the theology behind this painting from Leonardo da Vinci, Savior of the World? Terry Mattingly will be with us also to talk about church security and how the media covers issues of church security after the church shooting in Texas lately. Feel free to join us with questions or comments over the next 2 hours. Our call in number 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us for our series, Christ in the Old Testament, talking about the day of the Lord in the Old Testament prophets. He's pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of the weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be here, Todd.
This is a constant, not incessant, but a constant warning from almost all the prophets. When they talk about the day of the Lord, are they only talking about what we would call the last day?
Well, when we have the understanding of a day, we are in the realm of time. So this is the time that God's going to come. I mean, it might be referred to as the hour, it might be the day, it might be the year, but it is going to be the time of the intervention of Yahweh, the Creator, in His creation. So this is when God comes, and when He comes as Creator, He's going to come as Judge. He will make things right. Therefore, you might call it the Judgment Day. The problem that we run into is as soon as we start thinking about Judgment Day, what we start thinking about is, in the negative aspect, that it's just merely condemnation of the wicked. But we also need to understand clearly that judgment is not a negative thing in and of itself, that judgment also has a positive aspect, that there is justification of the righteous, the salvation, the deliverance of those who are oppressed, where justice is brought. So when we're looking at the judgment, we see the judge comes to make things right. This is when he intervenes, he enters into time, into creation, and he does something. He does something for the benefit of his people. He delivers them from tyrants, from rulers, from oppressors. He brings these things to an end. We use this in reference to the idea, even in everyday life, where we say when you die, you're going to go meet your maker. And that's going to be your time, your day, your hour is up. And then it's now time to stand before your God. Now, that image, again, is that when God is going to interact in time, and that time is going to be when His word is heard and when His word does what He says. And that image then is for any time that the day of the Lord comes is when we hear the word of the Lord. So we even refer to the day of the Lord as a Sunday when we gather on the day of the resurrection, where we hear Jesus, where we hear the word incarnate speaking to us clearly in His voice and giving us his action that He has come to do to intervene in creation. So you can talk about the day of the Lord when you come to hear His word right now, tomorrow, the next day, the next week, the next year. It is in reference to the day of the Lord in the first advent, the first coming of Jesus, in the mystery of the incarnation, in the nativity, in His suffering, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and also in reference ultimately will be that last day when He comes again to judge the living and the dead. But all of this is a picture of the Creator entering into time, this intervention of God where His word is heard and He does what He says. And therefore, a lot of times you have this darkness and this thick darkness that's going to happen at this day because He's going to enter into fallen creation. Well, God Himself is light and He comes there to bring light. In fact, at the time of the crucifixion, I mean, notice that imagery at the crucifixion, the darkness on the land is in the day of Jesus on the cross. In His crucifixion, the darkness comes, but yet it cannot overtake the light. And so those who are in Jesus, who are in Christ, are a new creation, and there is no condemnation. Those who are in Jesus have life, they have light, they have the forgiveness of sins.
So let's talk about why the Old Testament prophets are warning about this day when... And they're not doing it of their own volition. They're being told to by God to warn of this day under inspiration of the Holy Spirit when the day hasn't come for us yet either. It's a long ways off, especially for those Old Testament people of God.
Yeah, and again, we want to see the connection with the hearing of the word of the Lord. That what happens in our day-to-day occurrences, we become negligent, we become lazy, we start to focus on the physical things of this realm, we start to care about these earthly things rather than heavenly things. We start to lose track of time, we start to look elsewhere, we begin to look for a different word, we begin to look for a different action. When the prophets are coming and the prophets are sent, they're coming to the people of God to once again set their eyes back on Jesus. A prophet, again, is a seer or a seer, one who sees the vision, and he wants to give that vision with others so that they would see the same thing, that they would set their eyes upon Christ, and that Christ is the one who's going to come, and Christ is the only one who can deliver us from sin and death and the devil. In the this life, sin, death, and the devil are always constantly trying to rule and reign over us, and we're always trying to either avert it by our own methods, our own ways, or we just fall into it, completely blinded by this darkness and this deception. And whenever the people of God have gone astray, they've been led away by all of these lies and the falsehood and the deception of darkness, that's when the prophets will come. And the prophets will come and they'll remind the people and bring that light and say, hey, remember, the day of the Lord is coming. It's approaching. And those who are in opposition to God, these are the kingdoms of the earth who want to prevent God's kingdom from coming. If you're in league with those kingdoms, you will be judged with those kingdoms. Or you've got the wonderful, beautiful news that Christ is the king we're waiting for. His heavenly kingdom is the kingdom that we're desiring, that the prophets put that picture before you and say, set your eyes on Christ, your king, the one who comes. And he's the one who is going to make everything right. He'll make it right in his sight. And he does this by bringing his light. And constantly when the people are led into the darkness, that's when the prophets come to bring them back to the primary teaching of the Word of God, which is to set our eyes on Jesus, our great high priest, the one who will conquer and deliver us from sin, death, and the devil.
One of the first places you want to take us is to the prophet Isaiah. That's a good place, right there in the center of the prophets. And to Isaiah chapter 13. What do we find there with respect to the day of the Lord?
Well, what we want to see in Isaiah 13 is that this is now Israel that has fallen into this darkness and this deception. They want to be like the kingdoms of the earth. And when you want to be like the kingdoms of the earth, if you want to worship in the way of the world, God's going to hand you over and hand you over to the contemporaries. And you want to be like these pagans? Well, God says you can have them, and he gives them Babylon. And so he hands over his own people, earthly Jerusalem, to Babylon. But yet in chapter 13, though, there is going to be this promise that even in the midst of this darkness, there is going to be this great light, the light that will come to forgive sins. And that's what we want to primarily see this light as. The light of God is connected to life, and you cannot have life without the forgiveness of sins. And in Isaiah 13, what you have is eventually you're going to fall into darkness and captivity under Babylon. You're going to be just like one of these earthly kingdoms that don't want to hear God's word. They don't want God's will to be done. They don't want God's kingdom to come. Well, in Isaiah 13, for the righteous remnant, so that they would hear these words and they would trust in the midst of all these things that are falling apart around them, you have in Isaiah 13, it's an oracle against Babylon. It's concerning what's going to happen to Babylon. And here you have this day of the Lord in chapter 13. Well, for the day of the Lord is near, as destruction from the Almighty, it will come. And therefore all hands will be feeble and every human heart will melt. They will be dismayed. Pangs and agony will seize them, and they will be in anguish like a woman in labor. This whole idea of the birth pains that Jesus will use us in the New Testament to describe this final day, the final judgment, the judgment day at the end of time, that it will come unexpectedly, it will come suddenly, and it will come like this anguish of a woman in labor. But in the process, you know that it's going to come, just like a lady who is pregnant. She knows that the birth is going to happen, but she doesn't know precisely when it will happen. Well, Isaiah goes on and says, they will look aghast at one another, their faces will all be aflame. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land a desolation and destroy its sinners from it. And so this judgment is where we see this here, that you have, it's a cruel, it has a fierce anger where there's wrath, there's going to be no mercy. The sinners will be judged, they will be removed. You'll destroy the sinners. You're going to punish the world for evil and wicked, for the iniquity that they have. You're going to put an end to the pompous pride of the arrogant. And all these things are going to happen because it's going to be a day of judgment. Either you are hearing God's word or you are against God's word. Either you are trusting and believing in God's promises, or you are trusting, believing in your own works, in your own ways, in your own wickedness. So this whole image here is about punishment. It's about judgment. It's this day where Babylon itself will be overthrown. I mean, you want to be like Babylon? Well, then you will perish like Babylon. And then to include this whole idea of this destruction, and it's a day of darkness, Isaiah will say, for the stars of the heavens and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be dark at its rising, and the moon will not shed its light either. That you have the idea that it is a day of darkness. Now, even when you think of the stars and the sun and the moon, understand that originally when God creates these lesser lights here, this is for the purpose of keeping time. I mean, you get this, so this whole image here is that you have the stars and the moon and the sun that helps us to keep track of days and hours and months and years. But when these lights go out, that means that the clock is over. I mean, your time has expired, like in a game of sports or something. Now that's the fourth quarter, and now the timer says zero on it. It's the bottom of the ninth inning, and now there's three outs. The game is over. There's a finality to it, that there's no more time. It's all gone. And if you're stuck there without the light of God, then you've got a problem. You've got a problem because without God, specifically God the Son as your mediator, all you're going to have is God the judge. And without the mediator, the high priest, Christ our Lord, there's no light. There's no forgiveness of sins. There will be no salvation. Instead, you will be stuck in utter darkness with no light at all.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest, pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Our series, Christ in the Old Testament, continues today. We're talking about the day of the Lord in the prophets. When we come back, we'll move from the prophet Isaiah to the prophet Ezekiel and what he has to say about the day of the Lord.
Answering objections defending the faith, evolution or creation, transgenderism and homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed at the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd at Faith Lutheran Church in San Antonio, Texas. Learn more at worldviewsa.org. This conference features issues, etc. guests Dr. Jan Lohmeyer and Pastor David J. Weber. The San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, Saturday, February the 3rd, worldviewsa.org.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
It's tough to be Lutheran in America these days. Our families, our schools and churches, even our most deeply held beliefs and values are under fire. We need unchanging truth in a world full of confusion. The Lutheran Witness magazine can help. For less than a quarter a day, get the best of Lutheran reflection on faith and life, theology and culture, delivered monthly right to your mailbox. Learn more at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about the Day of the Lord in our series on Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Moving from the prophet Isaiah to the prophet Ezekiel, what does he have to say in particular in chapter 30 of that Old Testament book about the day of the Lord?
Well, we want to see this in conjunction with what we were looking at in Isaiah. And in particular, when we know that these earthly kingdoms will all come to an end, and what these earthly kingdoms all have in common is that they are part of the deception and darkness of the devil, that they're all part of this earth, this fallen creation. And if you're going to put your trust and your faith in them, know that you are going to then end up just like them. Well, we know that Babylon will be judged. Babylon will come to an end, that God himself will deliver from this captivity in Babylon. That the one, when judgment comes, again, in a negative aspect, you're going to have punishment for wickedness. But in a positive aspect, you're going to have this vindication for the righteous, those who are trusting in God, the remnant. He's going to deliver them from this tyranny. The tyranny, of course, ultimately of sin, death, and the devil, which is all connected together here in the ancient pagan world where these earthly kingdoms do not have God's word. Well, in Ezekiel chapter 30, the idea and thought is, well, I got it. I know how we can alleviate this problem, is that instead of going into Babylonian captivity, we can go to Egypt. And so if we go to Egypt, we can avert this coming kingdom of Babylon, that Babylon's going to come and it's going to cause tyranny, it's going to cause oppression, it's going to cause death. So we can go to Egypt. And the Israelites are constantly being tempted to go to Egypt, so look to an earthly kingdom to fight against another earthly kingdom. And here in Ezekiel chapter 30, now here's a word against Egypt, saying, well, Egypt is one of these temporary kingdoms too. Don't put your faith and your trust and your hope in these earthly princes. This is not the kingdom of God. It's not about the power of the sword to deliver you from death and judgment. Egypt's not going to help. And so here in Ezekiel 30, the day is near, the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations. A sword shall come up upon Egypt, and anguish shall be in Cush when the slain fall in Egypt, and her wealth is carried away, and her foundations are torn down. And again, that picture here is a days of gloom, the time of these clouds, that there's no light here. This is darkness and death. This is all about the deception of the devil in these earthly realms. And don't trust in Egypt to help to deliver you from Babylon. You're going from one side of judgment to the other side of judgment. These earthly kingdoms, these earthly kings cannot sit on a throne and be your deliverer and be your judge. So if you don't have God's word, if you don't have faith in his promises, if you don't have Christ, then you don't have light, you don't have life, you don't have for the forgiveness of sins. So it doesn't matter if you go to Egypt or if you go to Babylon, you're not going to God. You're not taking your refuge in him.
The next one you wanted to look at was prophet Jeremiah. What do we find there?
So again, with the prophet Jeremiah, we have this whole understanding of the day of the Lord, that it's coming. He's going to judge the nations. And in fact, here in Jeremiah 26, that day is the day of the Lord God of hosts, a day of vengeance to avenge himself on his foes. The sword shall devour and be sated and drink its fill of their blood. I mean, the imagery is just horrible. This physical sword, if you want to live by the physical sword, you're going to die by the physical sword. For the Lord God of hosts is going to hold a sacrifice in the north country by the river Euphrates. Go up to Gilead and take balm, O virgin daughter of Egypt. In vain you have used many medicines. There is no healing for you. Now, in these words, it's very striking that you're looking for these earthly kingdoms, you're looking for help here on earth because you're trying to save yourself from death. You're trying to save yourself from your impending doom and gloom. But there's nothing you can do. It's not the works of your hands. It's not going to be the swords of these earthly kingdoms are going to help you. When the Lord sends this judgment upon the land and you've been handed over, you're going to be handed over. And the only hope you have is to turn to the Lord and take refuge in him. That this is going to be a judgment day, a judgment of those who do not trust in the word of God and his promises, that it becomes the equal playing field across the whole earth, that all have fallen short of God's glory. And all who look for their help in other places, they're all going to end up in the same boat. They're all going to sink. There's going to be no hope for them or help for them. That if you trust in princes for deliverance and salvation, it's not going to work. And so the Lord says it's going to be a day of vengeance. He's going to avenge himself with his foes. Now, again, the foe, the old evil foe, of course, is none other than the devil himself, who is using these earthly kingdoms to deceive and oppress the people and to keep them from the truth. And in this image, you have the image of the sword and the blood and death and the dying. And so in this picture, then he moves from this slaughter in a military battle to the idea of a slaughter in a sacrificial system, that the wages of sin is death, and the slaughter is going to be great, and there's going to be all this death. And then kind of in this ironic tone, he says that there's going to be this great sacrifice, because it's going to be this great slaughter, and it's going to be this great sacrifice. But the problem is, it's not going to benefit them for the forgiveness of sins or salvation. The wages of sin is death, and they're going to be the one who's the sacrifice. There's going to be no substitute. There's no substitutionary sacrifice. There's no one to atone for our sins. Instead, you're going to be the one who's going to take the brunt of your own sin, and you're going to die. And this is the image here of this. This is why we see this as Judgment Day, because if you look for other kingdoms, other than the kingdom of Christ, you won't find peace. You won't find the forgiveness of sins. You won't find a mediator, the one high priest. All you're going to find is the judge. And we all stand condemned because of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And each one of us has this day of judgment. Our day is limited. Our day is numbered. And we'll all stand before our Maker. But the key here, again, is that the people are looking elsewhere. They're not looking for the light. They're just going into the darkness straightforward. And even this picture here about Gilead, that there's a balm in Gilead. You know, so the question is there no balm in Gilead? So instead, what they're doing is they're self-medicating. They're looking around trying to heal themselves. They're trying to fix the situation themselves with their own work and their own worship. And it's not going to work because it doesn't have God's promise, and it's not in faith in Christ in his work. And they're going to end up in doom, in judgment.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. We'll take another break. When we come back, we'll look at the prophets Amos and Joel and see how they discuss the day of the Lord, these Old Testament prophets. Our series is Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico, and host of a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. You'll find a link to it right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. emmanuelpress.us.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
The Faith, Once for All, Delivered to the Saints. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armed forces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armed forces.
Are you concerned that nativity scenes aren't being displayed in public places? Why not display one at your church or your home? The Outdoor Nativity Store produces durable, affordable, and American-made outdoor nativities for Christians around the world. To view a variety of nativity sets, visit OutdoorNativityStore.com. These nativities will hold up under the harshest weather conditions, snow, ice, and wind. The Outdoor Nativity Store, OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our series, Christ in the Old Testament. Today we're talking about the Day of the Lord in the Old Testament prophets. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is our guest. Pastor Ketchelmeyer, take us into the next, Amos and Joel.
So when we look at Amos, we have this, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord." Now, that's a very shocking statement, and what we need to understand here is it's being preached to those who are following proof text preachers, who are following prosperity preachers, who are following preachers that are giving them a false sense of security, and they think that everything is great and everything is good because look at how much they have done for God. But again, the emphasis is going to be on their own works and their own ways, and the prophet Amos will come to them asking that question, well, why is it that you would want the day of the Lord? It's going to be a day of darkness and not light. And it's as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into the house and leaned his hand on the wall and a serpent bit him. This is not going to be good. It's a day of deep darkness. It's the day of gloom. There's going to be no brightness in it. Because if you don't have Christ, if you don't have the one who is the light and the life of the world, then you will have no light and you will have no life. You will have no salvation. You will have no forgiveness of sins. And it doesn't matter what you have done, either doing forth all these good works and these good deeds and saying, look at what I've done, see my hands, O Lord. It doesn't matter what kind of worship that you've done to praise God and say, God, aren't you impressed with my music and my prayers? In this very passage, God says, I despise your feast, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And those peace offerings and your fat animals, I won't even look upon them. Take them away from me. Get this noise of your songs out of my ears. The melody of your harps, I won't listen to. So it doesn't matter how much you were on fire for Jesus when you were praising him in some kind of a worship setting. The issue is that if you don't have Christ, if your faith is not in him, in his work, in his atoning sacrifice, as he is the one who is now the high priest, the intercessor, the one who intercedes for us, the one mediator between man and God, then all you have is the judge, and you'll be judged on your works, and your works without faith are not pleasing to God.
Then we go to the prophet Joel.
Joel is trying to do, he's like all the other prophets, is giving us this wake-up call that you don't want to look to the kingdoms of the earth. You don't want to look to your ways of worship. It's not about what you have done to impress God. It's not about your method of sanctification that you've created, that now you've impressed even yourself. The God is not going to be the one who's impressed with these things. These things are not going to help you on that day. Because if you're in the darkness, you will remain in the darkness without Jesus. you don't have the light. And so Joel will come up and he'll say, blow a trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm on the holy high mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming and it is near. It's a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness. Specifically for those who are rejecting the word of God, resisting the work of the Holy Spirit, they don't have salvation. They don't have the forgiveness of sins in Christ because they're looking for some other kind of mediation. They're looking for some kind of self-medication, things that they can do to heal themselves and make themselves right in their own sight. But what Joel will do is he's going to sound the alarm. He wants us to tremble. He wants to see that this is a day of darkness. Without Christ, you're left in your sin. And he says, now I want you to see the solution, the Savior. He wants you to see the mystery of the incarnation. He wants you to see the ascended Christ who pours out his Spirit. And so this is the here in this passage in Joel 2, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and the female servant in those days I will pour out my Spirit. That through the gospel, through the proclamation of the cross of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is given. The believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enlightens us so that we would see Christ. And this is the same passage that will tell us, then, as the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us, we set our hope in Jesus, then all who call upon his name shall be saved. And, of course, Peter will talk about this on the day of Pentecost.
And the last prophet that you wanted to look at today was the last prophet in the Old Testament, the prophet Malachi.
And we want to see, again, the continuity and the consistency of all these prophets, that they have been teaching about the kingdom of Christ. They have been teaching from generation to generation that we would look for the seed, the promised seed that was promised all the way back to Eve in the garden. And we want to see that vision. And it's the Holy Spirit that comes in the proclamation of this gospel so that we would have eyes to see the true one. And Malachi will end on this note. And he'll, with all the other prophets talking about this day of the Lord, and he says, behold, because he wants you to have ears to see the truth. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of their children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with a decree of utter destruction. Now, notice that Malachi will end on this note with Elijah the prophet. Now, we know Elijah the prophet, who was teaching the people of northern Israel to set their hope in the promises of God and not the promises of Baal and the contemporary worship that they had there in the land of Canaan, but instead to look to the Levitical sacrifices at the temple that all pointed to the mystery of the incarnation. And they want to see the true Lamb of God. Well, Elijah, of course, is then a picture of John the Baptizer. And when John the Baptizer comes on the scene, he's doing exactly what Elijah did, exactly what all the prophets did. He says, behold, he says, see and look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the mediator. This is the one high priest. When you have him, you have the forgiveness of sins. In him, there is no condemnation, and you stand forgiven and pardoned. And in this promise, you receive this by faith alone. So this is the preaching of the baptizer, which is the preaching of all the prophets, which is the preaching of the apostles and all their successors today, to set our eyes upon Jesus as our one high priest, the one mediator between man and God.
Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer is pastor of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Los Alamos, New Mexico. He hosts a weekly radio talk show called Redeemer Theological Academy. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's great to be here, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the election of the chairman of the Pro-Life Activities Committee by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Didn't sound like it should be a big deal, but it is heralded by the National Catholic Reporter as what they call the bishops giving the middle finger to Pope Francis. Dr. James Hitchcock of St. Louis University will be our guest on the other side to talk about this vote by the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops.
In the early 90s, communication scholars began talking about the old concept of the newspaper. So, you know, those things on paper with ink.
Terry Mattingly speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
The concept behind this, they called it the Daily We. That there was supposed to be a media product that we would consume that would help us learn about other people in our community, in our nation, and that we would at least be consuming some of the same information for the sake of debate, discourse, etc. The internet is absolutely brilliant at destroying the Daily We.
You can listen to Terry Mattingly's presentation, Making the Case for News Discernment, on an audio DVD of both of our 2017 Making the Case conferences. We'll send it to you for a year-end tax-deductible donation of $300. Just click the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the language of medicine and law today. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.